The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 3, Scene 20. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
This is Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
And Susie Hobbinstock from the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
And we're going to start the first of two reviews today with Double Wide Texas, which is playing at Cat Theater through the 16th. Residents of a trailer park take action to avoid being annexed by a neighboring town. That's kind of a little bit about what's going on in this play. What'd y'all think?
I didn't think too much was going on in this play. This is another of these sitcom comedies, and everybody in it was good. Everybody played their part well. It was good to see Donna Marie Miller. It was good to see Catherine Cooper. Crystal Oakley did a nice job. But man, these are silly, thankless roles that, you know, it's repetitive. It's just not that funny.
I thought some of the funniest stuff was the names of some of the businesses. And of course, Stagger Inn for a booze bar was kind of a funny name. But yeah, there weren't a lot of actual good jokes in the thing. I thought one of the things that everybody did is they played it at top volume, literally and figuratively. Everybody was over the top the whole time, which worked some because they were kind of trashy and Texas twangs and, you know, all that kind of thing. But it was a little much.
Yeah, I thought that it was intended to be done over the top.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, it was kind of interesting that this was the second play by the same trio of writers that's, you know, being performed in this area at the same time. And I think it's kind of unfortunate that I had seen the other one first, which was a much stronger production. So then to see this one afterwards, I was thinking, okay, is it going to be as funny?
The show you're referring to, of course, is Always a Bridesmaid out at Swift Creek Mill, which we reviewed in the last Curtain Call. So it is a very different show because it's not a bunch of middle-aged women. Speaking of middle-aged women, I thought Jeannie Goodyear, who played the boozy mom, I thought she was kind of fun. She had a lot of fun with that role. And Travis Williams as the big buffoon. He was a big buffoon, but he managed to make that kind of fun. Michael Fletcher, who's acted at Cat for a number of productions, this was his first directing job, and I thought he actually did a pretty good job of keeping the show energetic, as we've complained before, especially out at Cat. There were long pauses between every scene change, and basically nothing was happening, except they would change costumes a little bit. And I felt like that really hurt the momentum a little bit because we had to pause and wait and wait. And some of the physical gags didn't quite work, but I thought overall a lot of it did.
I agree. There was some unnecessary lag time. But just to interject something that I thought was really positive, Becky Jones's costumes, especially
yeah.
The costumes for Baby,
right.
He became more and more effeminate in trying to prepare for the womanless pageant.
Right, right.
And Caprice's costumes
right.
as she was preparing for her big debut.
Commercials. It's kind of interesting when you consider that it's the same writers who did Always a Bridesmaid, because the same thing happens in that show. They use costume gags a lot for laughs. Speaking of the technical stuff, I have to say that Scott Bergman's set was kind of interesting because you could see the insulation of the trailer on the sides. It was a little confusing that first scene was technically not in the trailer, but it looked like it was. There was nothing that made it clear that, oh, we're in a different place. But you kind of figured that out later in the show.
Yeah, and you know, they at Cat, they have doubled down on this team of playwrights because they're doing Double Wide Christmas for Christmas.
Yes, they are. So we'll probably be back to talk about that too. So I would say overall, we kind of enjoyed it, but thought it might have been a little much for some.
Well, I think just as people don't watch sitcoms for great theater,
right.
you want to have, you know, some fun, you want to enjoy yourself, that's great. It's not great theater, but it's a lot of fun.
It was broad and fun. Susie, you think?
I've had more fun in other places.
And we've been talking about Double Wide Texas, which is playing at Cat Theater through the 16th of June. I'm going to turn things over now to Rich and Susie, who both saw Romeo and Juliet, which is a Richmond Shakespeare Festival production at Agecroft, playing through June 24th. Take it away, guys.
Well, I don't think we need to explain Romeo and Juliet. It's perhaps one of the best-known dramas of all time. So this is kind of a reboot of sorts. Originally at the VMFA in April, they had production of it. It was Jan Powell's direction, and then she had a family emergency and had to leave. So James Ricks came in and was fulfilling her vision. This one is solely James Ricks. I really enjoyed it. I think that the Romeo and Juliet here are kind of like a young, quirky teen couple, and that really worked for me. It's got Tyler Stevens as Romeo. He's kind of an understated, charismatic Romeo. And you have Claire Whitman as Juliet, the funniest Juliet I've ever seen. I've never thought of the role as being particularly funny, but I thought she brought a lot to the role. I really enjoyed it. What did you think, Susie?
Yes, and we should mention that Claire Whitman was really just there for that first weekend. The role of Juliet will be continued by the woman who originally played her in the VMFA production, Liz Ernest. But we saw opening night, so that was not Liz, that was Claire. And I thought that the production was better at Agecroft than it was at the VMFA. I like the venue better. You were closer. You could hear better. I complained at the time at the VMFA that the auditorium was half empty and the sound kind of echoed and got lost in the corners. This was much more immediate. It didn't have the rickety scenery pieces. It just ran very nicely. And most of the cast was the same. Obviously, Romeo and Juliet were different that first weekend. And we also had Todd Patterson took over from Matt Schaffner in the role of Mercutio. Matt Schaffner had been wonderful. Todd Patterson was wonderful. It was the best thing I ever saw him do. And he really added a lot to the production.
I completely agree. I also really enjoy Beau Wilson in both productions as Friar Lawrence. He brings a very sympathetic characterization of him. They really play up the fact that he's kind of a surrogate father for Romeo. I really enjoyed the staging. I thought it was very energetic and fun. It's a show you and I have seen 1,000 times.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Didn't knock it out of the park, but fun.
The only moment for me that kind of took me out of it, there's a scene with the nurse, played by Melissa Johnson-Price, and Mercutio. In both productions, he's razzing her a little bit, but he grabs her breasts, and you know, I'm sure that historically has precedent for how people have performed these parts. But for me, it's like, well, it's 2018. It just felt like sexual assault, and it really took me out of the show. Did you have the same experience?
No, for me, it was more like just a comic bit.
Okay, thank you, guys. They've been talking about Romeo and Juliet, which is a Quill Theater production, part of the Richmond Shakespeare Festival, at Agecroft through June 24th. And that'll do it for this week's Curtain Call. We want to thank Open Source RVA for hosting us on WRAR. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with an all-singing, all-dancing Curtain Call, reviewing West Side Story and A Chorus Line.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artsies.org.